Here we are on public radio having this conversation. This is going to live on forever, and it's going to reach other young juniors and Alejandro and Gabrielas out there, and it's going to inspire them to do better. I remember having those initial conversations about why we felt it needed to happen. We wanted that representation, that Latino professional representation. And we realized, hey, we don't have to all struggle as much. That doesn't have to be a rite of passage. We could absolutely make it better for the next generation to be more authentic, to be more of themselves, to be more community-minded, to be proud of where they came from, wherever that is. And I remember talking about, you know, dreaming what we wanted this to look like and feel like and sound like, and a digital platform and access to everyone was important. I would say mission accomplished, for sure.
Hola, my name is Gabriela Ramirez Arellano, and that was Junior Lara. I am joined, as always, on We Live Here Auténtico by my amazing co-host, Alejandro Santiago. ¿Cómo estás?
Hello, I am doing great. Junior is passionate about making human connections, and after today's episode, you will understand why he takes every opportunity to be a coach and mentor in his personal and professional life.
Junior has served as president of a corporate Toastmaster club and is fluent in English, Espanol, et Francais.
Three languages? Wow, that's impressive. But that's just the beginning. Junior is a senior manager of client engagement in the healthcare industry and serves on the board of the Balsa Foundation as business director, working with first-time entrepreneurs and helping them perfect their pitch. He is also co-founder of Auténtico Podcast, which you are listening now in his partnership form with St. Louis Public Radio. We live here, Auténtico.
Yes, Junior and I started working on Auténtico in 2018, and we'll share that part of the story later as well.
So myself, three brothers, and my mom, we arrived at LaGuardia Airport from Dominican Republic in 1994. And I remember it was hot. It was August. It was New York. So it's very, very hot. And I remember being very thirsty and seeing my dad for the first time in 2 years. So I saw him at the airport and ran out to him and hugged him. And so did my other brothers too. My mom was crying. And we were all very happy. And we finally walked to a van. There were no seats, so he slid open the door. We all sat on the floor of the van. From LaGuardia Airport, we drove across the bridge from Queens to Manhattan, and then we arrived at Washington Heights. Washington Heights, for those of you who don't know, is kind of like Dominican land. So essentially, I left Dominican Republic for a little DR. And the only difference were the buildings. So the store names were all the bodegas were all in Spanish. El Primo Bodega. El Mercado de Fulanito de Tal. And we got there and we went upstairs. And at that time, my dad was renting a bed. So six of us were all sleeping in a single bedroom, not a one-bedroom apartment, a single bedroom. So it was definitely cramped. So my mom made it a point to make it a point to him, like, hey, we need our own space. So we lived there, I think, for about 6 months or so. And that was Washington Heights, Manhattan. And then we got an apartment in the next bar over, which is the Bronx. So we moved to the Bronx, we had our own place, and it seemed so big.
Relocating to a new country or a different state can be a disorienting experience. We find ourselves in a beautiful and strange new world at the same time. We have to learn new rules and ways of doing things, local culture, new social circles, making new friends. It can be a lot. Add to it the language aspect. Some of us didn't know English really well. I have a few stories on that for a later time, but let me tell you, it was a struggle.
Yes, it's been a long time for me since we arrived in the US when I was little, and everyone's experience is different. But as a way of comparison, remember when you were in grade school and the night before the first day of going back to a new school year, then you couldn't sleep? You were excited and nervous at the same time, and you knew that everything would be different. A new teacher, new friends, maybe even the new school.
And I spent the majority of my teenage years in the Bronx and also bouncing back and forth in Washington Heights. So we moved a total of 5 times in 1 year. We're moving quite a bit until we finally settled down deeper and deeper into the Bronx. And then that's where I went to junior high school, went to my first years of high school. And then when I was 18 or so, my parents separated. Eventually my mom moved to Missouri. But before she moved to Missouri, I remember having a conversation with her about moving here in Missouri. And I was like, why are you going to move to the country? And she said, well, you know, my family's there, your aunts are there. We want to start fresh. I was like, no, I'm going to stay behind. I'm a big boy now. So my mom ended up moving down here from New York City. And I stayed back with my cousin and some friends. The picture that I had of Missouri was like horses and carriages. Like I thought people still got around with carriages and there were like cows everywhere and cornfields. Mind you, there's a bunch of cornfields, but definitely not in St. Louis. In New York City, or places like New York, just a huge metropolitan area, your entire world just revolves around that bubble that you're in. So about a year after my mom moved to Missouri, I got mom sick. You know, I miss my mom, miss my brothers. So I decided to make the move down here. And I remember being on a Greyhound. And of course, I could only afford the Greyhound that took 24 hours to get to Missouri. So it was like a long, long way around. And of course, all you see on the way here is nothing but cornfields and nothing but land and nothing but cows. So I'm like, oh my gosh, see my life is going to waste. I got to picture myself working the land and being a farmer. Pretty funny story at the end about being a farmer, but I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this.
I have found that people outside of St. Louis just have the wrong impression of the city. Most of the views I find to be negative, just like Junior. I also decided to move here, and my perspective changed drastically. St. Louis is a city full of opportunity and amazing people. It is up to you and I to change the narrative of our beautiful city. Gotta be St. Louis proud.
Claro que sí. Estoy orgullosa de vivir en San Luis. And when we come back, we will take you on Junior's journey of self-acceptance.
From St. Louis Public Radio
and PRX,
this is
We Live Here Auténtico.
In New York, everyone that I knew was either Dominican or Puerto Rican. That was my principal, my teachers. I tell people now that I never actually had to use full English up until I moved to Missouri when I was 18. It was always Spanish, and that's a real language, by the way. I learned Spanish before I even learned how to speak English. But everyone that I knew that was a professional, that was a worker, had a last name of Jimenez, Martinez, Ramirez, Nunez. And then I made it to Missouri. And apart from my family, there were two other Dominican families. So it was very hard adjusting. And it was very hard for me to find a sense of community here. Because, of course, most people that I met grew up together and went through elementary. Big question in St. Louis is, what high school did you go to? So I couldn't relate to any of those conversations. I couldn't relate to any of the music, any of the trends, any of the slang, the words that were being used, the things that people acted. I couldn't relate to any of those things, let alone the language portion. So I really struggle as I went from 18-year-old junior to becoming an adult working professional junior and finding a sense of community. And I think more importantly, finding someone that I looked up to who could mentor and give me advice. I really struggle with that. Especially because my parents, of course, I was separated, but not only that, they had an education level of high school, you know, so they were workers, very hard workers at that, who made it a point to come here and want the best for their kids. And so I wanted to validate all their work by becoming a professional myself. But again, who would I look up to?
As Junior was starting his professional career in St. Louis, he realized he didn't have anyone who looked like him as a role model or that could mentor him. What about you? Do you have a mentor? Are there other people who you can relate to in your organization or industry?
Despite the advances many workplaces have made to create inclusive workplaces through employee resource groups and bilingual resources, Latinos continue to face unique barriers and challenges in the workplace. And according to Diana Carreno Garcia of the Kellogg School of Management, while Latinos represent 18.5% of the U.S. population, we are unfortunately underrepresented in many settings. Only 4% of executive or senior level managers and 9% of first and mid-level managers are Latinx. Approximately 3% of the CEOs of the S&P 500 are Latinos, and currently none of them women. And only 6% of those who took the GMAT in 2018 were Latinos.
It makes sense that Junior was not finding a community he could relate to in St. Louis, since the Hispanic population here is around 4%, which doubled from the previous census 10 years ago.
So I really struggle with that, so much so that for years, as I was working in corporate America, I was really embarrassed by my accent. I have this like Latino East Coast accent that just follows me everywhere, especially whenever I get excited or upset about things. But I really struggle with that. So I remember telling my wife that I wanted to change my accent. So I told her, you have to correct me. Anytime that I say something that's not perfect or it's not pronounced correctly the way that they do it here, and you need to correct me, because my wife, even though she's Latina, she was born and raised here, so she can navigate both languages, as I like to say, perfectly, because she doesn't have an accent at all. Funny enough, though, one of the things that she loves about me is my accent. So that was very interesting. But anyway, I said, okay, I don't want to have an accent. I feel like it's holding me back, and I feel like I need to speak how the people that I sit at the table with speak the language. So that went on for years and years. And then a friend that I had at the time, who was also raised here in the States, said, hey, do you want to go to this meeting for the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce? And I was like, Hispanic Chamber of Commerce? Like, I'd never heard that before. I don't even know what it Chamber of Commerce did, period, but why the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce? So he's like, well, it's a networking event, just, you know, come to it, you're going to meet other Latino professionals. I'm like, you know, there are all these Latino professionals here? Like, I had not met one yet. He said, okay, that's fine. And I remember going to it. And of course, you know, like a lot of networking events, you know, you have to write your name down and put a name tag on and so that way you can meet and network with people. I remember seeing a bunch of Latinos with, you know, Latino last names that were all very, very familiar to me. And having these conversations with other Latinos, you know, who were the VP of this company or the director of that company, who had an accent and carried themselves very professionally, but still very confident. And I had not seen that, not here. And of course, the president of the Hispanic of Commerce at the time was Carlos Ramirez. And the way that he said his name, rolling the R's, I really appreciate that, because I used to tell people that my name was Junior Lara instead of Junior Lara, which I do now, very confidently at that. But the way that he rolled the R, it just felt very home-like to me, very personal. And the people that I met that night and meetings after the fact, which I made it a point to attend almost every meeting because it felt so good. It felt very not stuffy. I remember seeing, and after a while, after I got to know some of the people there, saying hi to them with a hug and a kiss on the cheek, which in the Latino community, that's very common. But that's how we connect, you know, even in the professional world too. And not that we don't shake hands or anything, but there comes a point where that sense of community takes over and you just want to connect with someone. And I got that. But it took me years and years. Like I said, I got here when I was 18, going on 19, I think it was. And that did not happen up until I was probably 27, 28. So I went for about 10 years working in corporate America without having a mentor or someone that I can relate or can relate to, and someone who could relate to me. And of course, I met Gabriela through the chamber, and Alejandro I met through the chamber as well. But it felt good to finally find people who not just necessarily agree with me, because we're in a world very diverse, but who could communicate in the same wavelength, who could have and appreciate certain words that are used, you know, like mi hermano, you know, my brother, you know, and querido, you know, querida, dear this, dear that. Those are very sort of like open arm type of words that bring you in when you're having conversations that I really appreciate it. And something that I also noticed is that my style in leadership as a business professional had a lot to do with how I was brought up in my community. It wasn't and still is not stuffy. You know, something that I tell my team a lot is, how can I support you? You know, there's always that sense of community that I was brought up with, that I finally found when I started to meet other Latino professionals who reinforced the way that I felt rather than try to avoid it, who reinforced my action trying to avoid it instead of avoiding it. But yeah, it just felt really, really good to have that. And of course, the happier that I was with myself, with my most authentic self, with all my experiences, with my accent, with my style of communication, with my style of approaching business problems. Money work. El mundo quiere dinero. Money work. Se arregla con dinero.
It takes a lot of vulnerability to share these lessons, and we hope that if you are nodding your head in agreement and relating, that you start thinking about what you need to do to support your own journey. Junior and several of our guests mentioned the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce as a resource, and having both worked at the Hispanic Chamber, Alejandro and I can both plus one Junior's recommendation to attend the networking events and get involved with the Chamber or other Latino organizations in St. Louis.
For sure. The Hispanic Chamber of Commerce networking events happen every third Thursday of every month at different locations. So if you want to know where those are going to be, check their website, hccstl.com, to register for the newsletter and for the many events they host throughout the year. the We Live Here Authentico team was just at a recent one, so stay tuned for that episode. Let's hear more now about Junior's journey and how things started to shift for him.
I think a moment of when I said, you know what, this is me, and I'm going with it. One of the best investments that I ever made professionally was when I decided to join the Hispanic Leadership Institute, which is it's a leadership program that's offered locally for Latino professionals. And it's a 10-month program. You meet once a month for an all-day session. And in that program, I met other Latinos, which this happened 5 years ago. And to this day, we are still very much close. But we talked about some of the challenges and challenged each other to maybe reframe some things that we felt, for example, like my accent. I felt that somehow got in the way of effectively communicating my thoughts, because I felt people were more focused on my accent than they were on the content and substance of my words. And, you know, I had some of the people that challenged me and said, I think it's you. And that felt uncomfortable, you know, but having like investing myself that way, joining that program, having people who may have experienced it, the same thing, and it can help me reframe how I was thinking, made me feel a lot more comfortable. Made me feel like, you know, had this happened earlier on, you know, where I had some kind of program, some kind of mentors that sounded and looked like me, that would sound and look like me, would have had a much, much better impact on me earlier on. But I did at that point, right? So from that point on, I decided, okay, you know what? Here are some business owners who have accents. Here are some Latinos who are brown, you know, and here's some people with some Latino last names, and they've done it. So I still call them my board of directors, because when I have questions or challenges, things I'm struggling with professionally, whether it's a title, a job, a work-related problem, without getting too deep into the weeds, I would confide and I would get feedback. So I call them the board of directors because of that. From that point on, I decided, okay, I'm going to be my most authentic self. However that comes through, welcome feedback, apply whenever applicable, but be me. And when I started to be me, authentically me, and communicate the way that I did, and sharing the thoughts that I felt needed to be shared in the way that needed to be shared, or approaching problems the way they needed to be approached, and continuing to invest in myself, somehow I find myself being a mentor for other people and being a source of guidance unintentionally. That's not what I wanted to do. But I somehow find myself being that person that I wanted in my life early on to help inspire and motivate others. And that, of course, has led to a lot of really good opportunities for me in leadership across 3 different organizations now, and continues to pay dividends. And again, I feel like it all started with me finally making a decision that I was going to be me authentically. I want to say that it's so important to have a sense of community, because it validates, but it also corrects. And it's also a way to have a check and balances when someone is growing. And of course, there's a level of assimilation that we Latinos have to do when we live in the U.S., especially when we live in areas where we are not the majority. And that takes a lot of work, but it's also recharging to have a sense of community, like I found here eventually.
According to Forbes, By 2030, Hispanic youth and other youth of color will make up more than half of the nation's labor force.
There is work to be done for sure on both ends, employers and employees. Organizations should be thinking about the role they want to play. How can they help employees from any ethnicity overcome cultural barriers that can inhibit career mobility? And we know that a company is stronger when it possesses a wide range of perspectives, from entry level to the C-suite. So it makes sense that amplifying underrepresented voices in the corporate world through meaningful mentorships and internships benefits employees and employers alike.
With Junior, he not only had to find his way in his workplace, by doing so, he became a role model for others. For me as well, we have to make the effort to find that support. And when we don't find it, start our own, just like you, Gabby, and Lindsay Harrison of BioSTL did with Voices, an affinity group that supports and connects minority founders and entrepreneurs to build supportive relationships.
Yes, Voices has really given us a chance to share our voice, connect to peers and resources in St. Louis, and it's allowing us to lead change within our communities and the organizations that we work in. We actually started the group in 2021 during the pandemic, and we are still going strong. If anybody's interested, we meet the second Tuesday of every month at 4 o'clock and really provide an opportunity to network, discuss various topics, and connect with other like-minded people in the affinity group breakouts. In fact, Eduardo Platon, the president of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, met you, Alejandro, from Brazil at one of the Voices virtual meetings while he was still there. And well, the rest is history.
Yes, the rest is history. And now that we're meeting in person, Voices is meeting at Cortex. I can't wait to see you there. And stay tuned. When we come back, Junior reflects on starting Authentico Podcast and how proud he is to see us here on St. Louis Public Radio and why this work is so important for future generations.
This is
We Live Here, Authentico.
Welcome to Authentico.
This is Gabriela.
And Junior.
Back to the drawing board. This podcast is created with you in mind, the Latino professional and business owner determined to succeed.
Por eso conversamos en dos idiomas and discuss a wide range of topics.
As diverse as our audience and provide you with tools and resources. Esperemos que les guste. Authentico Podcast was created to empower and showcase bilingual Latinx professionals and small business owners by creating a platform in which to share our stories and lessons learned. Junior reflects on this vision years after and whether that goal was accomplished.
Hey, here we are on public radio having this conversation. 100%. 100%. I feel like that was accomplished. That the people who you, Alejandro and Gabriela, reach now, is just things that I dreamt about, and you guys made it happen. This is going to live on forever, and it's going to reach other young juniors and Alejandro and Gabriela out there, and it's going to inspire them to do better. You know, I remember having those initial conversations with you, Gabriela, about why we felt that this was like needed. It needed to happen. And I remember us talking about the fact that we wanted that representation, that Latino professional representation. We did have, at that point, a lot of Latino professionals that we knew and who had very interesting, similar journeys, professional journeys to get to where they were at. And we realized, hey, we don't have to all struggle as much. No, it doesn't have to happen. That doesn't have to be a rite of passage. We could absolutely make it better for the next generation to be more authentic, to be more of themselves, to be more community-minded, to be proud of where they came from, wherever that is, whether it's Latin America and the Americas, South, North, South, Central, or the Caribbean. To be authentic, to be okay, to feel a sense of community, even when that community may not be present right there where they lived. That's why we thought that a digital platform and access to everyone was important.
It was 2017 when we first started talking about sharing our Latino voices. We wanted to talk to business owners and Latino professionals about their journey and lessons learned in hopes of inspiring each other and filling the need that we felt and saw in St. Louis, seeing and knowing people who look like us. We started Dime Tú, a collaboration with another Hispanic Chamber member, and we found our voice. Later, in 2018, Junior and I decided to branch out on our own and learn to create a website, record and edit audio, go live on several platforms at the same time. Remember, this was before the pandemic, when very few people were using Zoom or similar streaming platforms, so we had a little bit of a learning curve, but it was important to us, and we launched Auténtico Podcast in late 2018.
And I feel like, again, those initial dreams that I had, which came about because of the Leadership Institute and the meeting of the Latinos. And I remember talking about, you know, dreaming what we wanted this to look like and feel like and sound like, and you both made it happen. So I would say mission accomplished for sure.
Talking to Junior, it was obvious that it had come full circle for him. The podcast, the stories, finding our voices, and being a resource for others was something that when he moved here, he had been looking for. It was something that took a toll on him because at that time, he could not find it. And so he created for himself and for others. For me. I feel such sense of gratitude, Gabby, because you all opened the door. You made this version possible because you both worked so hard. Gracias.
If I don't do anything else in my life, knowing that I played a very small part in Auténtico and in this means of representing and sort of asserting ourselves in America, this will be enough. Like, this is a very, very important and needed steps. I remember us talking about this felt like going up on top of a mountain with a bullhorn and saying, we are here. We are here. And we have something to say even to you. During a time in which that did not feel like an open door for us. But being the Latino that we are, sometimes you have to create your own door. And this was the door that felt authentic, the felt that was needed to represent. So this is amazing. Really good.
Gracias, Junior. You continue to be an inspiration and a validation that even when it's hard and a lot of work, this is so necessary. And I could never have done this without you. Remember the farm conversation at the beginning of the episode? Well, that also came full circle.
So I'll start with what I'm doing now. So I am now living the life that I so much avoided living when I first moved to Missouri. Yeah, the cows and the cornfields and the carriages. Minus the carriages and the cows, but definitely surrounded by a bunch of cornfields. So I live in a small town. My wife and I, we bought a farm, so, and it's very, very, we don't have any lights, any street lights. And yeah, we have chickens, we have goats, we have rabbits, we have quail. I think that's all. Yeah, that's all the animals. But we love it. Like, this is so relaxing. I get to work from home, so it's like I still get to provide for my family and have my professional life. But like I tell my wife, essentially we live in a park. Like, I can just go out my back door and hear the rooster crowing, and when the goats see me, they start doing what goats do, you know, the bad sound. We have a pond on the property, which there's fish in it too, so we get the fish out of the pond, and I could not be happier. And here I was initially avoiding moving here because I felt like it was going to be country and just backwards and And here I ended up buying a piece of land and getting animals and working the land. Yeah, like I making my own compost now with the manure. And I laugh just thinking about it a lot of times because I'm like, if only my friends from New York knew what I was doing. It would be so funny. Never had I thought that I would have bought a farm and been a farm, like a part-time farmer kind of thing. So that's what I'm doing now. What's next for me is I want to set this up much better for my daughters. I want them to have a better platform than I did. Thankfully, Authentico is doing that from a digital content perspective for Latinos. And I know that my daughters would eventually benefit from it too when they start to enter the professional world. But I want to buy more land. I eventually want to lease the land. And I want to continue to work and provide value to all those around me. I met some really, really neat people here in the country. Of course, I continue to be my authentic self, accent and all. I learned that early on that's when I can be my best. And just keep working and buying land and setting up the stage for my girls for whenever they're ready to take the baton and continue to carry it on. And then live out the rest of my life. It doesn't have to be this farm, but definitely in a land somewhere. This is where I am my happiest, for sure. So being authentic for me is being bold enough to be yourself, whoever you are meant to be. Accents and all, like in my case. But never letting go of that sense of community, which is so important in our Latino-ness, like I like to call it. Being bold enough to take the feedback and use the things that would apply and make sense, but never losing yourself in feedback that completely change who you are.
Amigos, Junior shares so many aspects of his journey that are inspirational. There are so many things we can individually do to change the status quo, to open doors for others, to celebrate each other. Whether you're listening to us in St. Louis or in another city, know that there are resources and people that can help you in your journey. Is there a local ethnic chamber? Maybe your organization has an affinity group that you can join. Or better yet, start.
Yes, start. Start that podcast. Write that book. And let us know if we can support you in any way. Our website at AuthenticoPodcast.com has a blog with inspiration. And if you're interested in speaking or looking for a speaker, you can also find one on the website. And we have all of the past episodes and interviews with amazing trailblazers that have shared their story out loud, sharing their challenges and lessons learned. So be sure to check them out and look for the next episode of We Live Here Authentico soon.
Speaking of trailblazers, we lost a dear friend and a champion of our community recently, Minerva Lopez Montage. For the last 20 years, Minerva was an advocate for the Hispanic community in St. Louis, the residents and business owners of Cherokee Street. She was a business owner and worked hard to keep the traditions and culture of our beloved Mexico alive and well in St. Louis.
Minerva was a woman of grace and courage, terca como ella sola. That was something that I did love about her. She had a stubborn streak that showed up when she set her mind to something, and there was a lot that Minerva set her mind to. I can't imagine how empty it will feel to spend time on the street without Minerva here to organize, advocate, share our Mexican culture, and to welcome us. Our relationship was built around advocacy for the Hispanic community and evolved to share many family gatherings and other activities over the years that may or may not have involved shots of tequila or aguardiente.
Hola, Gaby, querida, ¿cómo te encuentras? Esto es kind of last minute, pero te llamo porque esta tarde a las 3 vamos a filmar un video promocional para el restaurante de mariscos y quería ver...
Minerva is leaving behind a legacy of kindness, compassion, and integrity. She was an integral part of creating a solid foundation of community on Calle Cherokee, and for Hispanics in St. Louis. Throughout the pandemic, she continued to drive people to vaccine events, help business owners apply for grant funding, and helping families access much needed resources.
Te estoy contestando en voz porque estoy manejando. Lo último que yo leí ayer fue que habían suspendido las aplicaciones porque ya habían hecho.
She left us with so many memories, so many laughs, and so much to accomplish still. And Alejandro, I am especially grateful and want to thank you and Congresswoman Cori Bush for the tribute to Minerva that you all made possible and is now part of the congressional record. And I want to read an excerpt from that. Remarkable community leaders like Minerva will never be forgotten as their dedicated efforts are etched in our city's history. Our beloved Cherokee and Greater South City have been made better from her contributions to the culture and vibrance of our city. May her memory be a blessing and a reminder that when community and purpose are combined, one person can transform a community. Lo que quiero decir es
que la vida vale. ¿Qué onda, Gaby? ¿A poco tu mamá está aquí? Pues tráela, sabes que yo soy de la Cherokee 24 horas. Si quieres traer a mi suegra y a mi cuñada, te invito al gato, ven, aquí te espero.
To Minnie's family, les quiero dar las gracias. Thank you for sharing Minerva with us all these years. She's a phenomenal woman, and her presence will surely be felt. We will forever be grateful for her friendship and inspiration. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, and yesterday came suddenly. Why is she? Love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know. She wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday.
Love was such. We Live Here is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Find out more about our guests, get show notes and more information, and of course, check out our previous episodes at welivehere.show. St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Thanks for listening.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. From PRX.